What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, your daily podcast covering the New York Yankees. We are brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. If you're a new listener to our show, hello and welcome. I hope you enjoy today's episode. I am your host, Stacey Gotsoulias. I'm an author of Baseball Prospectus, and I run their Yankee site, BP Bronx. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees. You can listen to and subscribe to Locked On Yankees on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, Player FM, and pretty much every podcast platform available on the internet. You can also listen to the show on our website, lockedonyankees.com. And finally, you can play Locked On Yankees on your smart speakers by saying play podcast Locked On Yankees. As always, you can email questions or comments to lockedonnyy@gmail.com. On today's episode of Locked On Yankees, we have some Yankees news to discuss, or rather, news that involves the Yankees to discuss. It's all about the moves that they've made or have tried to make so far this offseason. It seems they've been shopping or were shopping Justice Sheffield to a few teams until the Mariners were the ones to be like, we'll take him. But the big news today is the Mariners are interested in shipping off Robinson Cano. And Cano has said, hey, I wouldn't mind going back to New York. So the Mariners have been in contact with both the Yankees and the Mets. So this was first reported by Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic. I don't have a subscription to The Athletic, so I can't read his article. So I had to go to MLB Trade Rumors to find all this stuff out. So anyway, as we all know, Cano was suspended for 80 games in 2018 due to a PED suspension. He's owed $120 million over the final five seasons of his monster 10-year, $240 million contract that he signed with the Mariners 5 years ago. He also has the ability to veto any trade to any team. This should be interesting. The Mariners were a little hesitant in dealing with the Yankees in this manner because the Yankees are all, we have Jacoby Ellsbury. How about you take him? We take Cano. You give us some of the money from Cano's contract that we don't want to pay, and we'll be done. Who the hell would take Jacoby Ellsbury at this point? Honestly, he hasn't played meaningful baseball in what seems like 5 years, even though it hasn't been that long. But he's coming back from an injury-filled season. I mean, this poor man. He injures one thing, then when he's rehabbing that one thing, he injures another thing. Then when he's rehabbing from the second thing, he injures a third thing. Then he has to have surgery. I mean, my God, who would want that on their team? I know the Yankees don't. That's why they're trying to get rid of him. But who would want to take that on? I know they're trying to rebuild, but taking on Jacoby Ellsbury would be even dumb for DePoto, and DePoto wouldn't do that. As for Cano, when he wasn't suspended, he did pretty well. Through 348 plate appearances. He hit .303. His on-base percentage was .374. He slugged .471. He hit 10 home runs, and he had 22 doubles. And then when he came back from his suspension, he batted .317. His on-base percentage was .363. His slugging was .497. And let's see. Oh, this is interesting. Both his OPS Plus and WRC Plus had his overall offensive contribution at 36% better than that of a league average hitter, which is after being weighted for the league American and for playing in Safeco Field. So that's from MLB Trade Rumors. And they also say that defensive runs saved and ultimate zone rating each indicated that Cano was an above-average defender at second base in 561 innings there, and he even dabbled at the infield corners a bit in 2018. Now, if the Yankees were to take him, they would probably look for him to be first base slash DH. Now, as we all know, first base has been, I wouldn't say a corner of horrors for everyone. You know, Luke Voit was Shane Spencer in the second half of 2018, but who knows how he's going to be in 2019. Poor Greg Bird is just a disaster. You know, who knows what would happen if Cano played first base there? I don't know. Something's up. Someone cursed that position for the Yankees. I don't know who it was, but they got to get a voodoo doll and unwork that curse. Get rid of it. Get rid of that bad juju. So apparently the Yankees were actually talking with the Indians about Justice Sheffield, and they were trying to send Sheffield to Cleveland for any of Corey Kluber, Carlos Carrasco, and Trevor Bauer. So I guess the Indians and the Yankees were discussing all three of those guys, and Cleveland still liked Sheffield, but they weren't really wanting to trade any of those three because they couldn't match up other stuff. And it seems the Mariners placed a higher value on Sheffield than the Indians did. If you recall, Sheffield was part of the Andrew Miller trade in 2016. And speaking of Sheffield, his name was also linked to Paul Goldschmidt. It seems the Diamondbacks are intent on dealing the 31-year-old perennial all-star first baseman, and he's in his final year of team control. But the Yankees were trying to get them to take Sheffield in the discussions for Goldschmidt, but obviously he's no longer in New York. So I don't know if the Yankees could ever get Paul Goldschmidt. Now, hey, Paul Goldschmidt could play first base and maybe not be terrible. Again, someone get, I don't know, if you have to get some sort of voodoo priestess or, you know, maybe even just simple sage or something, light up some sage and wave it around first base at Yankee Stadium, get some of that bad karma away from it. But who could they, I don't even think they could come up with a package for Goldschmidt that wouldn't involve certain players that you don't want to trade. Because again, it's not like they're going to be trading Jacoby Ellsbury for Paul Goldschmidt. So we are in that stage of rumors flying around, speculation, no one knows what the hell's going on, things are coming out after they happen, and there's more. There's more stuff having to do with the Yankees, so we will touch upon that in the next segment. But first, welcome back. I forgot to mention one thing. The Yankees pulled off a trade on Wednesday. It wasn't a major one. They traded away a minor leaguer named Drew Finley for Tim LoCastro, who plays for the Dodgers, or, you know, he's in the Dodgers system, really. He spent most of his time at AAA Oklahoma City. He only was with the Dodgers for a little bit. He went for 2-for-11 in his short appearance with them. Drew Finley is the right-hander that the Yankees sent to the Dodgers, and it's a good thing because he's the son of the Dodgers Vice President of Amateur and International Scouting, David Finley. So he was a third-round draft pick in 2015 by the Yankees. He completed his third season with Staten Island. He's had elbow issues, and in four seasons of pitching, he has never thrown more than 33 and a third innings. As for LoCastro, he's 26. Finley is only 22. LoCastro hit 279, 389, 409 at AAA Oklahoma in 2018. So the Yankees will be looking for two bullpen pieces, more than likely, because both David Robertson and Zach Britton are free agents. There are some things happening with David Robertson. It doesn't look like he'll be coming back to the Yankees, but you never know. It came out today. I had spoken about a story written in the Post about David Robertson leading a vote on playoff shares, and it turns out that the Yankees voted for the least amount of playoff shares out of all the playoff teams with only 45. So that's not great. that's really not good. What can you say about that? So that whole story and everything surrounding it, and now this news coming out, probably doesn't mean good things for D-Rob. So with that in mind, Joel Sherman reported that the Yankees might be interested in Adam Ottavino, who's a free agent. The right-hander is 33 years old. He's from New York City, and he had a career season in Colorado with these last year. He pitched 77 and two-thirds innings, and he posted a 2.43 ERA. Now, MLBTradeRumors.com predicted that the Yankees would sign him on a three-year, $30 million contract this offseason, so it'll be interesting to see if they're right. They could be. It's possible. before signing James Paxton, the Yankees were discussing Yusei Kikuchi, who will be available in early December. He will be posted by the Cebu Lions over in Japan. Now, I just have to read this quote by Hal Steinbrenner because this is really funny. Okay. So this is about Kikuchi and about the Yankees' interest in him, of course, before the Paxton trade. But who knows? You never know. They do need more pitching, so anything's possible. This is what he said. I saw film on him during the pro scouting meetings. We talked about that individual. We've always been paying attention to that area of the world. Some unbelievably great players came out of there, so it won't be any different this year. You know what I'm laughing about, right? We talked about that individual. That's just so personal and nice. So anyway, Kikuchi is 27 years old. And again, the Cebu Lions, his team in the Nippon Professional Baseball League, will post him in early December. Brian Cashman had some things to say about the possibility of Bryce Harper being signed and playing first base. So this is what he said. He told the Yes Network this. People have talked about Bryce Harper being able to play first base. I don't know if he can or can't. I know he's very athletic, but that's not necessarily a bet I would recommend placing with the amount of money he's expected to get. So although Cashman doesn't seem enthusiastic about Harper as a first base option, the executive added that he's not ruling anything out. The Yankees are overloaded in the outfield right now. I mean, you know, with still having Ellsbury there. They have Judge, they have Stanton, they have Hicks, they have Gardner, they have Clint Frazier, remember him, and Ellsbury. So the speculation was that the Yankees would sign Harper to play first base because, as I said earlier, Luke Voit, you know, he came out like Shane Spencer, but he doesn't really have a track record, at least a major league track record. So who knows if it's a flash in the pan or not. I don't know. I feel like the Yankees should sign someone who knows how to play first base, like Paul Goldschmidt. But again, like I said earlier, I don't know if they have the pieces to make that deal go through. So this is going to be an interesting few weeks. The winter meetings are coming up in Vegas. Very jealous of everyone who gets to go to Vegas for the winter meetings. I thought I was jealous when they were in Disney World. Now I'm even more jealous because they're in adult Disney World. Hopefully no one I know will get into trouble. Be careful out there, boys and girls. So up next, I guess we'll go around the league. Is anything happening around the league? You know, it's Cyber Monday. We just had a 4-day weekend. Well, most people had a 4-day weekend. And things are quiet. So we'll find out what's happening around the league up next. But first, so as I was about to record this last segment, the news came across the wire that Brian McCann will be returning to the Braves. Now, financial details were not revealed. The team has not commented yet, but a source familiar with the negotiation said the 7-time All-Star catcher and his first major league club have agreed on a contract. That is by Mark Bowman, MLB.com. As you recall, McCann played for the Braves his first 9 seasons in Major League Baseball. Over those seasons, he hit .277 with 176 home runs. So that's nice. He's returning home. He's an Atlanta neighbor. He's an Atlanta native. So that's a nice way to cap off your career, to return home. McCann had a rough 2018. He couldn't hit, he couldn't stay healthy, and this is just a nice, he wanted to return to the Braves, and the Braves were nice enough to say, hey, come back home and play with us. So that's nice. You know, I liked McCann when he was on the Yankees. I know a lot of people were worried about him coming over to the Yankees because of stuff that had happened before he was signed, most notably his standing at home plate with his arms crossed because he didn't like a bat flip, and you know, everyone was like afraid that he was going to be too much of a tight ass to play for the Yankees. And it turns out Brian McCann is a fun dude. He did some of the best Yankees on Demand videos that the Yankees have ever had in the history of those videos. And a lot of those are really funny. And he did a really nice job with those. And he seemed to have fun when he played with the Yankees. He also had some sort of a bromance with A-Rod in 2015, which I thought was very odd, but cool. So yeah, good for him. That's nice. You always want to see stuff like that happening. The Rangers signed Jeff Mathis. So he's guaranteed Well, 2 years, yeah. $6.25 million. So he'll get $3.25 in 2019 and $3 million in 2020. I don't understand the move because, one, he's 35. Two, he's really not great. Like, he's not a productive hitter. So I don't know. It's a strange move. But the Rangers are weird, so that goes along with them. Speaking of weird, another team that begins with R, the Rays. This also happened last week. They designated CJ Cron, who hit 30 home runs for them last season. I guess this is a saving money move, but it's weird that they did the same exact thing to Chris Dickerson last offseason. And then Dickerson went to the Pirates. He was productive with the Pirates. So we'll see what happens with CJ Cron, but it's just weird. Like, you don't see teams designate a guy for assignment after they hit 30 home runs very often. For the Rays to do something similar 2 years in a row, it's just very, I don't know, a lot of people were overreacting to it. I was kind of like, what are they doing? Because I don't understand how that organization works at all. And speaking of Cron, I don't know, what is happening today? Every time I refresh this page, something new pops up. So the Twins have claimed CJ Cron off waivers. So there you go. He has a place now. So they're thinking that he will be playing first base and could be designated hitter in 2019. And the addition of Cron brings Minnesota's 40-man roster up to 39 players. So good for him. He has a place to play now. And a third thing happened while I was recording this third segment. Josh Donaldson signed a one-year, $23 million deal with the Braves. That's all I know so far, but things are happening. Guess people waking up from their long Thanksgiving slumber, and everything's happening. So this is a good thing. We'll have things to talk about. That's it for today's episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I have been your host, Stacey Gotsoulias. You can follow me on Twitter at StaceGots. You can email us questions at LockedOnNYY@gmail.com. You can tweet us at Locked On Yankees. You can also rate this podcast on Apple and on Google. You can subscribe at Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, Player FM, and everywhere else you can listen to a podcast. You can spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans and to your fellow baseball fans. So enjoy your Cyber Monday, everyone. I hope you get every deal that you want to get. I'm personally not going to buy anything. I did enough damage during Black Friday sales. So enjoy your day, everyone.